Luke 2, verses 21 to 35. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation for all the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, His mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Bless his word to your hearts. Now may the Lord, for the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Well, back in the 1990s, when I was a shift worker, I used to watch television during the day because I was working in the evening. And I used to watch a gardening programme or a cookering programme, which was on from 10 to about 12. And then from 12 to about 4, there was a Christian channel started. And then this was new to English people. In America it had been going for years. And after a period of time, this Christian channel started to broadcast all day, and in 24 hours and all week. And it was such a blessing. And then TVN started, and Daystar, and UCB, and Revelation. And they were so good, and so powerful. And I taped so many programs, and there was such good teaching on there. There was Derek Prince and David Paulson, and there were so many wonderful testimonies come out. And I taped so many. And my kids take the mickey out of me, because I've still got a video recorder, and some people don't know what it is. And I've got stacks and stacks of tapes. And in our bedroom we've got a video recorder, and of an evening, when we're laying in bed, we often just put a tape on. And last night we watched this lady who was a Jehovah's Witness, and the struggle she went through, and her and her husband prayed to the Lord for the truth, and God opened her eyes, and she came through in the end to believe in the Lord Jesus. And these things were so good and such a blessing. But as time's gone on, sadly, I don't think there's anything really on the Christian channels, personally, that I find is really uplifted anymore. Revelation TV is pretty good, and that's how I met Jim, bless him. And some of their programs are quite good, but the prosperity gospel and all the other gospels, it just don't fit right with me somehow. And some of the teaching is not what I call acceptable, really. But the other week there was a preacher on there. I won't say where he comes from because it wouldn't be fair, but it's a big church in London. And he said, the trouble today with a lot of Christians is they get a coincidence in their life, and they believe that's from God. And they look for coincidences all the time. Well, I can tell you that Jan and I have so many coincidences happen to us. It can't be a coincidence. And we call them God instances. And I'll tell you one in a minute. And you can make your mind up whether you think that is from the Lord, or whether you just think it's a coincidence. Well, Pastor Jim there is in Ireland at the moment. He's ministering in Ireland. He's been sending me lots of pictures through on WhatsApp, and he's been texting me. Bless him. He gets so excited. He's so passionate about what he's doing, and he's really doing wonderful things. He's even found a cafe that says the well, and he's taking big pictures of it. This is what we're going to call our coffee morning, the well, and I've asked him if he could nick the sign and bring it here, but he said it's not very Christian to do that. But he's doing wonders, and we're really pleased that we've got Jim on board to stir us up and get us going, because we need to be stirred up occasionally, don't we? So he's doing a very good job. So Jim said to me, what I'd like you to do while I'm away, would I bring a teaching to the church that I gave at house group? And the teaching was 7 weapons of destruction and 7 antidotes. Well, I thought, I know you've heard that all before, and sometimes if you do a teaching, it gets into your head, but it's got to be something that gets into your heart. And so a teaching and a message is two different things. So I sat there with my papers one Saturday morning, and I thought to myself, I don't know if this is right somehow. What we like to hear on a Sunday, we want to hear a message. We want to hear a message that comes from God, not from us. Do you agree? So as I was sitting contemplating this, a word just came into my mind, stay spiritually fresh. And then I thought about this scripture that I just read, that morning, and I connected the two together. And I thought to myself that over the Christmas period, the one time that we should be concentrating on the Lord is His birthday, is the one time that we seem to get distracted the most. Do you agree with that? If you're going to get a toothache or your filling's going to drop out, it's always just before Christmas. And just before Christmas, our washing machine started to leak. So Jen said, well, if we can try and nurse it over Christmas, we'll get one in the cells. But no, 4 weeks before Christmas, it flooded all the kitchen. So we had to go out and buy a new washing machine. And bless him, my son came along and he fitted it in for us. And he fitted it and he went. And just before Christmas, we opened up the oven and the door fell off. So now we've got to cook Christmas dinner with a microwave. And so we've got all these things going through us. And then you've got your presents to buy and the cars to send out. But we should be concentrating on Jesus, shouldn't we? But these are all the distractions that come. And I thought we should stop getting spiritually refreshed. We've had so many distractions. And so I thought, I said to Jen, I'm not going to give this teaching. I'm going to give this message about Simeon and connect the two with the word I've got. Well, that Saturday morning, Jen said to me, we usually clean the church on a Tuesday or a Saturday. Try to keep Saturday free because that is the day when we used to work. Now we're both retired. We would spend Saturday together in the afternoon and we would study God's word and go through something. Just for the fun of asking God to speak to us. And we do that on Saturday. But we were very busy that week, and Jen said, we need to go to the church to get the milk and the biscuits and have a clean up. So I said, okay. And just before I left, pastor friend phoned me. And I just shared to him, I said, you know, I've got this, just read about Simeon, and I was thinking about being spiritually refreshed. And he said, well, if you've got a time in the afternoon of Sunday, that's when their service starts, could you come and give a testimony? I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So just before we left home, Jan and I prayed, which we do before we leave home anyway, for our protection. And I said, Lord, perhaps you could give me a testimony, you know, that I could give to this church tomorrow. And so off we went, and we was going to walk to church. We got to the bottom of the road, and suddenly it started to rain. And as we turned the corner, it absolutely poured down. So we ran in the bus shelter and I said to them, we'll get a bus. So we didn't wait long before a bus turned up. And we got on and it was quite full. But there was no 2 seats for us to sit together, but there were several seats vacant. And Jan sat next to this black lady and I sat next at the back. Well, as we're travelling along, I noticed the conversation had started between Jan and this lady. When we got off at Welling, Jan said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, all the hairs have stood up on the back of my neck. I said, what happened then? She said, I sat next to that lady. I could have sat anywhere, but I sat next to her. And this lady said, I know you, don't I? And Jen said, I can't place you in the cell. She said, I've seen your face somewhere before. And Jen said, perhaps it's in the church. You know, do you go to church? She said, no, it's not that, no. And Jen said, well, I used to work in a school, St. Margaret. She said, that's where I've seen you, years ago. You was my son's, you used to look after one of my sons. And Jen said, oh, what amazing. What's your son's name? What do you think a son's name is? Simeon. Her son's name was Simeon. Now, we all know Simon But have we ever known a Simeon? I've never heard of a Simeon. So I said, you're joking. She said, no. What coincidence? No, that's a coincidence, or is it from God? So I ran up to the woman and I said, excuse me, is that about your son's name Simeon? She said, yeah. She said, your name's not Anna, is it? Because that's in the following scripture. She said, no, it's not. But I mean, that's the sort of things that we come across. It's sort of a confirmation of what God is trying to speak to you about. And so we're going to look at this scripture now. Staying spiritually fresh. And I've got looking at my notes because my memory goes sometimes. And so, a Simeon, this man is Simeon in the Bible that we read about here. He was a devout man and a righteous man, and he walked with God so closely that the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And the Holy Spirit said to him, you won't die until you see the Messiah. Now, here he is. We don't know how old he was. We assume he was an elderly man. And he was by the temple, and every day he'd be looking for that couple with the baby. And what you had to do when the baby is 8 days old, it has to be circumcised. And now medical experts have found out that it's just the right time to do it. Any less, maybe before, you don't heal and so forth. And then the ladies had to go and be purified after 40 days. And that's what they were coming for. And so he was looking. And so he was looking every day, every week, every year, looking and looking and looking. Just like we are, but looking for the return of Jesus. We're told he's going to come back, and we're still looking. And so Simeon is looking, and somebody comes along. Perhaps a well-dressed couple. Perhaps they bought a lamb. They were well to be sacrificed. And Simeon must have said, that must be the one. They're such a lovely looking couple. That must be the one. And he's run forward. And the Spirit said, no, that's not the one. Keep looking. Keep searching. So he carried on looking and looking. And in one day, this couple turned up. Joseph the carpenter, he's probably got gnarled fingers. You know, he's been working hard. And his wife, Mary, was obviously a lot, like the Bible said, a lot younger. Perhaps she wasn't dressed that nicely. But did they have a lamb to sacrifice? Just a pity. That's all they had. They were just a young, unassuming couple. And he looked at her and he said, and he goes, no, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one that you've been waiting for all this time. How did he stay spiritually fresh all them years, waiting and waiting for the Saviour? And he went out and he said, can I hold your baby? And Mary put the baby in Simeon's arms. And at that point he realised he was holding in his arms the Saviour of the world. And how amazing is that? It's marvellous. He said it's marvel in his eyes. And I believe that God is so proud of his people. And he is so proud of you for what you do for him. And so many times that Jan and I have been brought to our attention, people who God is so proud of. I shared with Alyssa at House Group that we, and many years ago, sitting on my bus, I was listening to my radio and there was a recording of Corrie ten Boom. Never heard of her before. She was a lady, a Dutch lady in her family, but saved many Jewish people, and they were put into a concentration camp. And that evening I prayed a prayer, Lord, I heard about this lady, I'd love to know more about her. Well, a few days later we was out giving tracts out, and I gave a tract to this lady, and I don't know why, it was a long time ago, but I must have given her my phone number, because she rang me out and she said, if you pass it, would you call in the scene? My eyes are getting very dim now, and I've got some books to give you. So I went to see her, and one of the books she gave me was on Corrie ten Boom. So God answered my prayer, knew a lot about her. I bought a book for 10p on Billy Bray. Billy Bray, he built wonderful, he used to work down the mines of the night and build chapels in the morning, during the daytime, with his bare hands, and some of the chapels are still going. I picked up another book on, it was Happy Jim, not our Happy Jim, another Happy Jim, and he was a man 100 years ago in Beckenham. he used to get so drunk and get in violent fights that they used to put him on his horse, and his horse used to take him home. He used to shoot the horses, horse-drawn buses. And one day he bumped into God, and he became a great evangelist in this area. And no one has ever heard of him since, until I found this book for 10p. It was all tatty and scrappy. And I read about this wonderful man 100 years ago who was a great evangelist. And no one's heard of him. But then I know about him, now I've told you about him, because God is so proud of his people. And God is so proud of Simeon. That's why sometimes people's names are put in the Bible, and they're only mentioned a short time. They're never mentioned before, and they're never mentioned it again. But God is so proud, and that's why Simeon's name is on there. And that's why God said, there's a man called Simeon who stays fruits fresh, and I'd like you to tell people about him. So that's what I've done. I've told you about Simeon. So I wonder how he stayed spiritually fresh. Well, when we read further on in Mark 2:36, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now Simeon would never see Jesus grow up. He'd never hear about his ministry. Simeon would never see them change the water into wine. He'd never see him feed the 5,000. He would never see the witness of the resurrection. So he must have stayed spiritually fresh. And I think Anna helped him. Anna was a prophetess. And it said for 7 years she was a widow. And that was until she was 84. So if you add 84 and 7 together, it's 91. Plus how old she was before she got married. This woman was over 100 years old. She's got to be. And she's been fasting and praying all that time in the temple. And I can imagine sometimes Simeon getting really despondent sometime and really feeling down. And Anna would go out as a prophetess and say, keep going. Keep going. He's coming. Believe what God says. Believe the Holy Spirit and encourage him. And that's what we need. We need encouragers behind it. I'm so blessed to have a wonderful wife. She never gets down, bless her heart. Sometimes I get fed up from time to time. And here she is in the bathroom singing all the lovely songs. And then she'll lift me up. And it's a marvellous to have someone like that. If you're not blessed to have someone like that, it's nice to have someone in your life, a prayer partner or so forth. I'm also lucky that I've got a man called Len Randall. He was the youth pastor here. He calls in quite regularly to see us. And Jan and I have a Bible study with him every Wednesday. And we really get into the Bible and chew things over. And that man I can go to with any subject I want to. If there's anything I'm worried about, I can go to Len. I can tell him everything with the confidence that he'll never blurt it out or anything like that. And we've prayed together. We've even wept together before now. And with Len, he can trust me to minister to his kids, which I have done. I trust that man to minister to my kids. He's even prayed with my kids. So it's nice to have somebody around you that you can trust, and you can say that I can really trust that man. And I think this was Anna, was like that with Simeon. She must have encouraged this man with times when he thought, well, I've been standing outside this temple for months, for weeks, for years, and nothing's happened. But she kept on going until the time came when Jesus appeared and he held that little baby in his arms. Praise God for that. And so, this is what I wanted to say to you, that, you know, it's great as believers that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we can stay spiritually fresh because we know that God knows us. He knows all of your head and our head. And he's proud of us. And he's proud of you. And he's proud of this little church. Though we are few in numbers, he's still proud of us. We had a new prayer unity this week. And we've been going around to different churches, seeing their early worship and praying for the churches together. And the churches in Welling are really coming together in a good way. And so I mentioned at the prayer meeting that God is a builder. Go to me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And I'll just repeat a little bit what I said the other night. Hebrews 11, verses 7 to 10. By faith Noah, when warned about things not seen, in Holyfield built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of his foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Noah, when the flood came, and God said, I don't, he said it's 2 Peter 3, I think, 2 Peter 3, he doesn't want anybody to be lost. But he gave them all fair warning, and the flood came. And he spoke to Noah again, like Simeon. He was a very devout and godly man. And he built the boat. But it was God that gave him the dimensions to build the ark, and even what material to make to build the ark. So God, as you can see, is a builder. And Abraham said he didn't know where he was going. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And as I said on Tuesday, I don't know about you, I like to know where I'm going. When I was a bus driver for 40 years, if I didn't know where I was going, we would be in trouble. And often, I did go wrong. I can remember going through Lewisham on a 54. I come down from Croydon through Lewisham, Lewis Grove, Belmont Hill, Blackheath, Woolwich. The next day, 54, from Croydon, Lewis Grove, Belmont Hill, into Woolwich. The third day was a 122. I go through Lewisham, Lewis Grove, and I was supposed to turn right to Lee Eye Road, but I went straight up Belmont Hill. And when I got to Blackheath Village, a lady said to me, what number bus is this? 54. Oh no, it's not a 122. And you can't just turn a bus around in the middle of the street. I have to go all the way around the one-way system of Blackheath, all the way back again, down the bottom of Belmont Hill, and then to my horror I realised I couldn't turn left. I had to turn right, go all the way around Lewisham Clock Tower and back again. By the time I got to the garage, I was an hour late. And the inspector said, where on earth have you been? I said, I got lost. So, it's good to know where you're going, but sometimes God can lead you somewhere where you don't know where you're going. And that can be a great blessing, you know. It could be so exciting when God leads you somewhere, then you don't know where you're going. Years ago, we was led to this church. We was in church one Sunday, and I said to Jane, I don't feel as if I need to be here anymore. She said, I've got the same feeling. A week later, or several weeks later, we just felt we couldn't stay there anymore. There's nothing wrong with the fellowship, nothing wrong with the people, but we just felt we couldn't go there. It would be so difficult to leave and go on, because God wanted us to be somewhere else. And then one day an elderly lady came in, and she came up, we never met her before, and she said, God just said to me, whatever you're thinking of doing, do it. Sorry, there. It was a bit of a story. We came here, Pastor Dale prayed for us, sent us back, but over a period of time, we came here. And I think sometimes God does that. He leads you. We didn't want to leave, really. But he wanted us to leave for a certain reason so we could come here. And that's what God does sometimes. So, God is an architect and a builder. And it's no coincidence either that Jesus was a carpenter. That's not coincidence, is it? He didn't make souvenirs. He would build lintels and reinforce houses. He was a carpenter. And we went on to talk about in Amos about the plumb line. These are plumb lines for the buildings. And our Bible is the plumb line to keep our lives straight all the time. We're staying in the Word and keeping ourselves spiritually fresh. He builds lives. But sometimes he demolishes buildings to rebuild a new one. If there's an old building, you knock it down to build a new one. And sometimes he'll do that. And just to wake George up and say, well, George gave his testimony. And he was so candid about what he said. And he said there was things in his life that God had to demolish to rebuild him again as a man, right? And it's like my sister. The things that my sister went through. As a Christian, she was a Christian, and she ended up in rehab twice. Self-harming and all those sorts of terrible things she went through. Marriage almost over. And a brother, the brother-in-law came to one of our groups, and he caught the fire from the other people. And over a period of weeks, he came to Christ and was baptized here, baptizing right under my feet here. And God demolished everything in their lives. But then he rebuilt their lives again. And now they're working in the church and it gets here together. My sister does the Sunday school, and Steve does the older children. They've got a house group. They're teaching people now. God has rebuilt their lives. And God is a builder. And he's building this church up as well. And he just builds lives up. And it's really fantastic what God's done. But sometimes like little children, have you got a picture of my grandchild? Can you do that? No, you can't do it. Okay, I was going to do that. Sometimes we need to have faith like little children. I was hoping to put my grandchildren, I've got three grandchildren. I've got Sophie, Jessica and George. And they're so honest in what they do. But sadly, Jessica came home from school and she got head lice. And my daughter-in-law was, And then little Sophie was four, she got it. George didn't, he's got short hair. And it was all going out of school. So little Sophie goes to preschool, because she's only four. She goes two mornings a week to prepare for school. And she goes bouncing in. I was hoping to put her picture up there. She's got her little lips. And she goes right up to the teacher and she said, I've got lips. Oh my daughter, oh no. And the teacher said, I've got, yeah, I've got lips. She's so honest and so real. And I think that's what we ought to do with one another. And so, you know, as we look at the Word of God and our people encourage us, and that's what we want to do. I want to stay spiritually fresh. And remember also that Jesus is the cornerstone. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by sins to be deceitfulness. We should be able to encourage one another every day. Mark 12:10 says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvellous in our eyes. We mentioned earlier on when Mary said, he marvelled at what Simeon said. And it says here, and it's marvellous in our eyes. The things we see through what God is doing, it's marvellous in our eyes, isn't it? John 14:1-6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. He's building a place for us. I was talking to a lady on the phone yesterday, and I said, it's amazing, one day we're going to have a mansion. We're not going to have a little red flat. God is building a mansion for us, and it's going to have many rooms in it, and we're going to see many people that we love and be there. Philippians 3:20. We, however, are citizens of heaven. We look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven as our Saviour. That's what we've got hope for, that Jesus is coming back, to keep looking, like Simeon was keeping looking for when the Saviour was going to come, when Jesus promised him, when God promised him that he wouldn't die. And we're looking for that hope. Matthew 16:18. Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of heaven. Whatever on earth you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. This is God's building. What What does God do? He builds up our lives. He builds lives. He's in the business for building lives. He manages our jobs and our marriages. If God's in it, He'll build on it. You've got to have something to build on. You've got to have a good foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. Once you've got Him in your life, you're up and running then. You can do anything in Christ who strengthens us. So we need to stay spiritually fresh. Our hope is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ. Have you got that clip? I'm going to finish off now. We found this on YouTube last night. This is what, as we sing this song, and we can see that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So thank you for listening to me this morning. And may we look at these characters in the Bible and read the Word and see just how spiritually fresh this year we can stay. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, as long as we've got Jesus as our cornerstone. Amen. Can you play that for us?
That the Lord has given us a word that we should have and stay in a spiritually fresh mind before the Lord. We have heard Brian and crowning it up with, on Christ alone we will stand. It's just take a moment and just pray. And ask the Lord to teach us and make us spiritually fresh. And to also stand on Christ and His purpose for our lives. Let's just take a moment.
Can I share this? Relationships. At Hebrews 13, verse 3, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. So we will support each other to prevent sin from hardening our hearts.
Let's just pray that the Lord will help us. Let's pray that the Lord gives us the ability to always stand and recognize that He's there with us. Let us be open to the Lord, that He gives us that spiritual freshness, that we will be in that area and that place to always be spiritually fresh and understand that with Him all things are possible. With Him we can overcome. With Him we can be victorious. With His presence around us we will conquer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You have made it clear to us. We should learn and be able to stay spiritually fresh. Lord Almighty and Everlasting Father, we call before You this day that whatever it is that is not making us to stand firm and listen and clear our hearts to be spiritually fresh in Your presence, Lord, we ask that You remove in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that You put us in that place. That place that will make us to be spiritually fresh for You in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that will stand as an obstacle, O Lord, be it sin, known and unknown, O Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that You open our eyes to see and not walk in that path in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, You are our Lord and our King. You have made it clear to us that with You, all things are possible. You said if two or three are gathered in My name, that I'm there with them. Lord, we know that Your presence is here, Lord. Father, we thank You for the word that You blessed us today with, Lord. Father, let it be as a seed planted by the riverside and its fruits be nourished in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for today and we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Brian. We thank You for using him for Your glory. We thank You for using him to speak to us, O Lord. Father, we ask that You fill him with Your overflowing power and with Your wisdom in the name of Jesus. Use him like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. We present him and his wife, Jan, unto You, O Lord, that You continue to speak to them in the name of Jesus. As they work for You, Lord Father, You work for them and You bless them. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that whatever they put their hands in, O Lord, Father, we pray that You will bless it in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that people will see them and see You in them in Jesus' name. Everlasting Father, we pray for the pastor who is on a journey right now, O Lord. We ask that You grant him safe journey back in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Almighty and Everlasting Father, we ask for Your outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this place in the name of Jesus. Let Your outpouring of the Holy Spirit be upon every individual here present in the mighty name of Jesus. Use us as point of contact to those that are not here right now. Lord, we ask that You will touch them in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, O Lord, that has made it not possible for them to be here, we ask, Lord, that You will touch them in Jesus' name. Everlasting Father, we pray for the children, O Lord, that You will touch them. You bless them with wisdom. You bless them with Your blessings in the name of Jesus. We ask that You enrich them with Your word. Lord, most importantly, O Lord, is for us to come together here and at the end of our stay on earth, O Lord, to inherit that wonderful place, that place that you've set for us, O Lord, that place that you've prepared for us, O Lord, and you will say, welcome, ye faithful servant, in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go out to our respective place for the week, O Lord, Father, we ask that you go before us. You go by us and you be around us, O Lord. That wherever doors we open, be open for our favor in the name of Jesus. The path you have destined for us this week, Lord. Father, may we walk in that path in the name of Jesus. Father, let your name be glorified. And we'll come together on Tuesday and on Sunday to give testimony of your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. May we share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. The Lord bless you.